we can hear the sound. Conviction.
If you happen to have watched any television or seen any movies or listened to any music in the past 15 years or so, chances are pretty good that you have been influenced by Afrofuturism. Afrofuturism has been described as a continuum, a cultural concept that looks to the future but is deeply rooted in centuries-old history. On Tuesday, January 27th, the Midwest Black Speculative Fiction Alliance is hosting a discussion called Black to the Future, Afrofuturistic Music from Sun Ra to Janelle Monáe. To get more information about this upcoming discussion, I met up with Mildred Fallon, local writer and host of the radio program Deeper Than Atlantis on Soul Public Radio, and Napoleon Maddox, local musician and member of the hip-hop group Is What. Mildred and Napoleon, thank you for joining me. Tell me, I guess, the roots of what the whole Afrofuturistic movement is all about.
Well, first of all, I think we're both going to agree that we're not really qualified to speak as specialists, but for me, the beginning of Afrofuturism, it probably... The first thing that I would identify in my story with Afrofuturism is Sun Ra, because of some of the jazz musicians that I've worked with that are on the fringe, you know, for lack of a better way of describing it. They're on the fringe when you compare what they do to the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And then a few years ago, I heard the terminology Afrofuturism and the ideas that go along with it, and then I realized how much that was connected to so many other things that I had been interested in and gravitated to over the years, up to and including Sun Ra, but then realizing how it connects with other things that go further back than the introduction of Sun Ra into the continuum. And that's a big word when I think about Afrofuturism. It's a continuum. It has to do with a way to look at African expression, both past, present, and future, and a way to look at the stories that we tell looking forward. And I've heard someone say, a much more scholarly person than I, say that there is something about African expression that is always looking to the future, and as we express and as we build culture, as we add on to culture, as we comment on our culture, then you can look at what was done a long, long, long time ago and see how that's shaping what is still developing.
Now, I think immediately of Afrofuturism in terms of culture and music and art. I'm immediately reminded of, like, science fiction type things, like, mm-hmm. even to some extent, like, comic books and things like that. There were references made to Parliament Funkadelic. Mm-hmm. So I sense a lot of sci-fi, mm-hmm. That kind of mentality in it as well.
Absolutely. As Napoleon summed it up very well, it's more of an umbrella term that includes literary works as well as music and, like you said, comic books. Specifically, George Clinton, you know, would be a good example of that. But then there's also a thread where there's, you know, like groups like LaBelle and Janelle Monáe, who have sort of a pro-feminist approach. So that's also in literary works by Octavia Butler as well. So it's all relative is what I'm kind of coming to learn about it. But for my story, how I connect to it is through funk music, particularly people like Sly Stone, George Clinton, of course, even Prince, because these are all artists who were outside of the box thinkers. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely, I've heard other people say that's an element of Afrofuturism, is not being contained to what's the norm.
So even though Afrofuturism is a relatively new term, it came out in, I think, the late 80s, it kind of ties back to things that happened 20, 30 years before that.
Well, I would say that it ties into things that have happened centuries before the term was introduced. When you think about what the Egyptians were doing and how people are still trying to figure out their connection to space and what they did with the pyramids and the hieroglyphics and all of those things, you listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire, Parliament Funkadelic, Africa Bambaataa, and even an artist like Nas or other current hip-hop artists, and then, of course, like I said earlier, Sun Ra, and they're all referencing something that scientists and astrologers are looking at, and they're thinking about and trying to figure out. So I think it is as ancient to the future as you can find. It's both timeless in the past and going forward.
You spend a fair amount of time in Europe, correct? Mm-hmm. Do you find it there, or do you think it's a predominantly American concept?
Well, when we talk about concept, there's the concept that people are aware of something and they name it and they say, okay, we're under this umbrella. And then there's concept that people, I think sometimes it's stronger, sometimes when it's not named, because it's in you and functioning in your thought process as something that's intuitive and something that you just go to without the pretension of saying, oh, now I'm doing something that's Afrofuturistic. So yeah, I see it there. I see it basically anywhere that people are forward thinking about African culture. And then in the idea of science fiction, you know, for many of these artists, maybe all of them even, to them it's not science fiction. It may be speculative fiction, it may be science fact, it may be a lot of different things, but I have never seen any presentation of Sun Ra or performance or speech by Sun Ra where he gave a wink or a head nod or any indication that he's not really from Saturn. He presented, that was the story. That mm-hmm. was, you know, and when George Clinton talks about his theory, or as some would say, mythology, it's always presented as, oh, this is factual. Maybe it's factual beyond what you're able to get with, but he's presenting that as actual fact, as something that's key and important.
If I could piggyback on what you just said, speaking specifically about it being an actual fact to that person or their lifestyle, I was listening to an album last night called Osiris. That's the name of the band. Sort of a late 70s, early 80s sort of band that never really broke out, but their leader, Osiris Marsh, was an Egyptologist. So in their bio, he basically stated, I know a lot about Egyptology. It's what I live. I don't want to get too deep about it. If someone wants to ask me about it, I can tell you, but he would always kind of allude just with album cover art. Like, there's a picture.
Sprinkles. Some
sprinkles
stuff.
There. Like, the album that I'm thinking of in particular is a sort of a picture of his likeness as the Sphinx. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting there. I mean, if you're someone who knows a lot about Egyptology, you get it and you connect with it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it could just be a cool cover.
Right, it's not required for you
it's
to understand the music.
It's not required for you to understand it, right.
So tell me, if you can, just a little bit more about the exhibit that's coming up and what it's all about and what visitors might expect to find.
Well, I think what visitors will expect to find is to be a part of it. Like Napoleon stated earlier, we're not trying to qualify ourselves as specialists of Afrofuturism and music, but we're inviting you to explore the topic with us. So we're going to have Christopher Bergen, who is a local soul music historian. He's done some extensive research on a lot of funk bands and how they tie in on an international scope. The Midwest Black Speculative Fiction Alliance, that was headed up by Aisha Little, and she brought Napoleon and myself aboard to kind of talk about programmatic ideas for 2015. And so it's I think there's going to be a lot of great things going on this year.
You know that there's going to be a lot of great things.
I know. Thank you. I know that there will be a lot of great things going on this year. And we also have a recording artist who's local. Her name is Jennifer Simone. And she has recently ascribed to being an Afrofuturistic artist, not because that's the genre that she
She didn't choose it.
She didn't choose it.
Based on the name. She was already doing it.
Right.
And then when somebody, she stumbled upon the name in a book that somebody had, and then she was like, that's a word, that's me. That's me. And that's what I was talking about before, mm-hmm. like in terms of like knowing a lot of people that are drawn to this and they haven't any idea. I'm talking about visual artists, writers, and a lot of performers that are drawn to it but not knowing that it's called something. And I think that beyond, you know, pulling back from all the mysticism and the cosmic vibes and all of those things that may be like, whoa, okay, well, whatever, there's something very real and something very tangible about being able to break out of all of the disposed all of the presented context, like, okay, this is a format, here's a format, here's these boxes. There's something very real about being able to break out of all of that and say, okay, I'm going to rewrite the past, and in the process I'm also going to rewrite and predict the future. And for a people that is alienated in so many different ways, the language and the aesthetic of Afrofuturism presents an opportunity to retell in the same way that science fiction, when you watch Star Trek, that spaceship can go anywhere. They can rewrite all kind. They can tell any kind of story. Why? Because you're in space, and it doesn't have to be, water doesn't have to be wet, and the ground doesn't have to be on the bottom, and all these different things.
None of us have ever been there, so we can't say you're wrong
right.
for projecting it that way.
Right. So that's another thing that I think people will find appealing about, especially, you know, creative people of all sort.
Do you think that that's sort of an interconnecting concept in anything that is Afrofuturistic, either on purpose or not, is that there really are no rules and you can kind of write your own story?
I like that idea. And, you know, for people that have been alienated or been outliers, you know, even like we were talking about me as a writer, you know, I chose to write about hip-hop because I wasn't really seeing much focus, much exposure given to local artists. So since I knew a lot of people who were a part of that, I decided, well, this is what I want to write about. It wasn't necessarily writing in the literary way I was taught, you know, going to UC, but I was telling stories. I was telling these people stories, what they lived, what they've experienced, and then also exposing a different audience to them that might have said, hey, I can dig it. I can relate to this person. So I think that that's what Afrofuturism in music does. It's not exclusive to just, say, African people, but it's definitely capturing those stories that give voice. It's something transcendental.
That's
belief
a word
and
that,
faith.
That came up like in our earlier discussions, talking about transcending, and then we somehow in our conversation we started talking about gospel, mm-hmm. and you know, and spirit, and taking on or receiving spirit, and all of these different things, like, you know, the believing community or the Christian community or the gospel community, we take that as commonplace, but to somebody that may be agnostic or they haven't decided that they believe any of that, that's science fiction. That's like, okay, what are you talking about? Dude's saying he's catching the Holy Spirit, like, you know. So that is as out as saying that we come from Saturn or that some spaceships are coming to receive us in, or you know.
It's like the mothership.
I was just thinking the mothership, exactly.
I think of a song in particular where George Clinton is saying, swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. And he's mm-hmm. likening like an old spiritual mm-hmm. to the mothership that they mm-hmm. actually would get on and take mm-hmm. them into outer space or whatever. And some people would think that that was an illusion, that they were using narcotics. Otherwise, other people would look at it like Napoleon said, like, this is the impossible. This is something that I want to be taken higher above my level of consciousness where I am here.
Above my experience that I'm at, that I can't escape from socially.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that word alienation, where you can break it up. Alienation, being alienated from, or alien nation, being alien to this nation, or being alien of all nations, like
the great double entendre of that word. And because when you think about it, like people of African diasporas don't often get to be immigrants unless, you know, by choice. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's where the whole alienation comes from. You know, you're already different. You're already other. Your culture is other. So Afrofuturism kind of takes all of these different pieces and makes it be possible for you to express that without being alienated.
Well, Mildred Napoleon, thank you very much for your time and helping me learn more about this concept of Afrofuturism.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
The discussion, Black to the Future, Afrofuturistic Music, from Sun Ra to Janelle Monáe, is hosted by the Midwest Black Speculative Fiction Alliance and takes place Tuesday, January 27th at 7 p.m. at Sweet Sister Splash on Sycamore Street in Over the Rhine. For links to more information about the discussion, please visit us at wvxu.org/lx. For WVXU's local exposure, I'm Jim Nolan. Eu te amo, eu não te vejo, eu tô te procurando, é luz que eu fusco. Eu te amo, eu não te vejo, eu tô te procurando, é luz que eu fusco. Eu te amo, eu não te vejo, eu tô te procurando, é luz que eu fusco. Eu te amo, eu não te vejo, eu tô te procurando, é luz que eu fusco.